Trust.
That's really good.
He can have insight and the ability to make decisions. But guys, without integrity guiding him, his decisions are probably going to be based on what's best for him. Even if that means throwing somebody else under the bus. So in my opinion, for what it's worth, integrity wins the day every time.
Yeah.
Above everything else. You can't teach integrity. A man has integrity or he doesn't have integrity. Now as we turn our attention to the life of Daniel, we find that Daniel was a man of intellect. And I don't want to discount that. So I want to show you that even Daniel possessed these things. Chapter 1, verse 4 says that Daniel was skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding. So he had knowledge. He had wisdom. He was also a man who possessed intensity and was passionate. I mean passionate about keeping God's dietary laws. Mm-hmm. And you might know the story there from chapter 1 where he purposed in his heart when he was presented with the opportunity to partake of the king's meat, the king's drink. The Bible says that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Insight was yet another characteristic that Daniel displayed in chapter 2 and again in chapter 5 as he keenly discerned King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And then later in chapter 5, he was able to interpret the handwriting on the wall of Belshazzar. But what truly set Daniel apart from the others and enabled him to achieve such incredible success, if I can put it that way, in Babylon, was no doubt his integrity. As we will read in our text in just a moment, Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes. And here's why. Because an excellent spirit was in him. Now when we talk about integrity, it can be defined as the steadfast adherence to moral or ethical code. It is the state or quality of being free from corrupting influence or motive. The thesaurus identifies it with such words as honesty and incorruptibility. Integrity is what causes a professional golfer to turn himself in on an infraction when nobody else sees it. It's what causes a witness to tell the truth on the witness stand when nobody else would have known any different. Integrity is what keeps employees from cheating on the time clock or on their expense accounts. Guys, I think you would agree with me tonight that our world desperately needs men of integrity.
Amen.
Daniel, as we'll see, lived in four distinct spheres of influence, as do we. Number one, we have a private life. There are parts of you, and there are parts of me where no one else can go. Our wife can't go there. Our kids can't go there. Our pastor can't go there. Our best friend can't go there. You know what I'm talking about? There is a part of our life, yours and mine, that nobody else can go to. That is, except God.
Amen.
Who truly knows us and searches our heart. So we have a private part of our life. And then we also have a personal part of our life. This describes that part of us that is shared with just a very small circle of people. Usually outside of our immediate family, it only includes two, maybe three other people who know us as we really and truly are. We not only have a private life and a personal life, but we also have a professional life. This is the part of our world that is a wider circle, and it consists of dozens of men and women with whom we have contact as we pursue our chosen careers. And then finally, we have a public life. So we've gone from the personal to the private to the professional, and then we've got this large sphere that we'll call our public life. This is the widest sphere of influence where anyone and everyone with whom we have dealings is touched with some impression of us throughout the course of the week. Even those we don't know personally or professionally hear our names and they form an opinion about us one way or another in our public world. This is why integrity is so incredibly important.
Right.
But where does integrity start? Well, I'll tell you this, it doesn't start out there in our public life and work its way down to our private life. No, integrity, as we'll see from the life of Daniel, begins in private. Integrity was rooted in Daniel's private life. Look at beginning of verse 1 of chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king, should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, and here it is, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Daniel had an excellent spirit. Time and time again, we see Daniel rising to the top because there was just something different about him. The difference wasn't the result of something brought on from the outside. I would submit to you tonight that the difference was the result of something that had been birthed on the inside. And that something was integrity. What Daniel was in public, when he was around other people, was the direct result of what he was in private, when he was around God and his word and his spirit. Drop down to verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Look at that phrase, as he did aforetime. You want to know where Daniel's integrity came from, guys? It came as the result of those quiet moments alone with God on his knees.
Yes.
That's where integrity is birthed. It's in private where the Christ life replaces the self life. In other words, integrity stems from an inner power, not an outer promotion. Listen, and you know this to be true. The world is full of men who promote themselves outwardly, but have no inner strength whatsoever. I mean, zero integrity. Integrity is often used interchangeably with honesty. Perhaps you've heard it said that this building rests on this building has a structural integrity. What does that mean? It means that this public structure is resting upon its private, unseen foundation that is solid. And so it is with integrity. And honesty, they rest upon the foundation of a close and intimate relationship with God.
Yeah.
That's where integrity is birthed. It's in the time that we spend alone as men with God and His Spirit and His Word. Now, because Daniel's integrity was rooted in his private place alone with God, the second thing that I would bring to your attention tonight is that it was reflected in his personal life. Again, our personal life is that part of our life that is shared with our family and just a small circle of close friends. I think that group in Daniel's life would have been his three counterparts in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, we'll not go back and read it, but back in chapter 1, I know you're familiar with this. I mentioned a moment ago, Daniel was faced with a decision of whether or not he was going to defile himself by partaking of the king's food. And in the verse I referenced a moment ago, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with that food. Had Daniel not been a man of integrity, perhaps he could have easily just gone with the flow. But he didn't. And his friends saw that. His friends saw how he responded to the opportunity to compromise his values, if you will, and to just go along with the flow, just go along to get along. But they saw Daniel take a stand. And the thing that I always like to bring out when I speak about Daniel is that when he took his stand, he was respectful. And I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but I think that's where we get into trouble sometimes. Yep. Is when we take our stand. I mean, I'll just be blunt with you. We're jerks about it. We're a bunch of self-righteous, pharisaical jerks about it. Mm. And rather than just stand for right, we've got to condemn others who aren't standing. And that's another message for another time. But guys, when we can stand for truth and be respectful.
That's right.
And maintain our Christian testimony.
Right. Yeah.
We don't have to be Again, we don't have to be a jerk about it. But Daniel stood his ground and he did it respectfully. And his friends saw that. And so consequently in chapter 3, when they had the opportunity to compromise, they demonstrated integrity. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people think what they do in the privacy of their own home and in the company of their close friends doesn't matter. But guys, listen, it does matter.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Absolutely it matters. It matters because your family and friends know that you profess to be a Christian. And if you're hypocritical in the way you live your life around them, then it's going to impact them negatively. Our integrity, or lack thereof, is reflected in our personal life. Let's go on in chapter 6, and we see that integrity is reinforced in Daniel's professional life. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. Would to God that could be said of every one of us.
Amen.
That they couldn't find any fault. That they couldn't find anything, any area of our life in public where we have compromised ourselves. Verse 5, they couldn't find anything against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Verse 9, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. As Daniel's jealous co-workers sought to find fault with him in his professional life as he carried out his responsibilities in the kingdom, they couldn't do it. That says something. They said, listen, it's like this guy does no wrong. I think the only place we're going to be able to nail this dude is if it's in his relationship with his God. And we just read what they did. One of the first places integrity or the lack thereof shows up is in our employment. Listen to Proverbs 20 and verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. Guys, it's a sad state of affairs when some employers don't have to worry as much about their customers stealing from them as they do their own employees. One of our deacons years ago owned an oil business, an oil company. I remember Brother Monty, it got to where he had to lock every cabinet. And if somebody needed a tool, they had to go find somebody with the authority to unlock the cabinet to get the tool. If they needed some shop rags, they had to go find somebody with authority to open up the cabinet to give them shop rags. That's because Monty couldn't leave anything unlocked. Because his guys were stealing him blind. Guys, it shouldn't be that way if we're going to say I'm a believer.
Right.
That shouldn't be true of us. Mm-hmm. I try to talk to Brother Noah. He's in law enforcement as well. I mean, if there's anywhere you can't leave anything laying around, it's a squad room. I mean, cops are the worst thieves in the world. Am I telling the truth?
There's one truth.
Yeah, there's one. I mean, you can't leave a pen laying around. You sure don't leave your phone laying around. Unlocked. I mean, those clowns get a hold of it, and only God knows where it's going. I mean, I'm just saying, guys, if there's anywhere we ought to live this book, it ought to be at work. Mm-hmm. It ought to be in our place of employment. Integrity ought to be reinforced in our professional life. No one, not your employer or your coworkers, ought to be able to find fault in you because you are faithful. I firmly believe tonight that our greatest opportunity to make a difference and engage our culture is in the workplace. I mean, think about this. There will be a very small percentage of your city and your county in church tomorrow. Just a small percentage of your city, your county. But on Monday, you're going to scatter into the workforce, and by the time the week is over, you will have touched hundreds of lives. Either in a good way or a bad way. In a way that reflects well on the kingdom of God, or in a way that brings disgrace to the kingdom of God. Hopefully, it's not that. Mm-hmm. Daniel's integrity was rooted in his private life, reflected in his personal life, reinforced in his professional life, and it was revealed in his public life. I'll not take the time tonight to read verses 11 through 28, but I'm sure you know the story. They saw Daniel praying, and which was in direct disobedience to the decree that the king had just signed. And regrettably, the king had no choice. It was the law of the Medes and Persians. It changes not. He had no choice but to throw Daniel into the lion's den. But here's what we discover in the closing events of chapter 6. Daniel's integrity, which was rooted in his private life, was effectively revealed in his public life. And guys, that's the way it has to be. Listen, fellas, you can't wait until you're thrust into the public arena to try and come up with some integrity.
That's
right.
Right? Right.
Listen, when the heat is on and your integrity is tested, listen, in some situation, you'll have a split second to decide, am I going to be a man of integrity or not?
That's good. That's good.
You're not going to have time to develop some integrity real quick.
Right. Yeah.
Fellas, you better have it. It better be in here.
Yes.
And there's only one place you can get that. And that's in your private life.
Yes, that's right.
Don't neglect your time with the Lord. Praying, reading your Bible. Some of you say, oh, well, you're just like our preacher. Read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray. Why are you preaching? You're only talking about reading your Bible and praying. Because you need to read your Bible pray. Guys, it's not a lot more complicated than that. It's really not. If you want what Daniel had, if I want what Daniel had, it's going to be birthed in private.
That's right. It's good.
And if it's not there, and we find ourselves in a situation where we've got a split second to either lie or own up to it, if that integrity's not here, we're going to blow it. Mm-hmm. And maybe everything we've worked for the last 10 years, because we weren't men of integrity. Our current contemporary culture brings new challenges to our Christian faith, yes, with every passing day.
Yes.
Our value system, our truth claims, and our moral compass are challenged repeatedly at every turn. And like Daniel, we need a different spirit in us. We need a spirit of integrity that will allow us not only to address the culture, but to engage it and influence it for good. So remember tonight, our integrity is birthed in private. When we get alone with God and we get alone with His Word, as Spirit feeds us and fills us, and once it takes hold in our private life, it begins to spread. And it spreads to our personal life, which is that area of our lives where our family and close friends can see something that is truly good and godly. And from our personal world, integrity then widens to the professional world and the public world, where it's then reinforced on a daily basis. And I'll leave you with this thought tonight. If you have integrity, nothing else matters. If you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. Have integrity.
That's good. That's good.